Well, good morning again, Crossroads Family Church, and those that are here with us today. God is good, amen? So if you have your notes, you can follow along. The title of the message today is Having Hope in the Midst of Hopelessness. The news in our world is filled with fear, negativity, and despair, and a lot of hopelessness. The Bible tells us not to be like the world. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't think like the world. So God is wanting us, and He gives us ability to live the exact opposite of how the world lives. So how can we overcome all this hopelessness and despair and negativity? Well, God always has the answer. Romans 15, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace. As you trust in Him, He will actually cause you to overflow with hope by the power of His Holy Spirit that is within us. So God wants us to live hopeful, faith-filled, positive, and abundant lives. Several of my notes came from Craig Groeschel's Life Church sermon that he preached this week. He said a negative outlook will never lead to a positive life. Jeremiah 29, a favorite verse of mine. The plans that the Lord has for you, me, actually everybody, it's plans for a future and a hope. Not calamity, evil, destruction, or harm. The plans that God has for us is a future and hope, even in the midst of hardship. Paul said in Philippians 4, I don't care what's going on around me. I'm independent. That doesn't control what's going on the inside of me. I've learned to be content, and I've learned how to do everything through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not pushing blind faith or denial this morning, but I am pushing the greatness of our God in us to put our faith and trust in Him. He said He's always ready and able to turn everything around for good. For those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So He's pretty good at turning negative situations around for a positive result. To turn bad around for good as we trust Him. This is a great story about rats, and it's actually a good story about hope. So a number of years ago, some researchers performed an experiment to see the effect that hope has on people going through hardship. They used two sets of laboratory rats, two different tubs. They left one in the water, and within an hour, that one group of rats, they drowned and died. The other rats, they were periodically lifted out of the tub, and they returned them to the tub. Those rats lasted 24 hours. Why did they last so much longer? Because they had hope. They were hoping to be rescued. If you watch the movie Castaway, you remember Tom Hanks. Over and over and over and over again, he kept looking at a picture of his wife. And that hope gave him the tenacity and the endurance and the fortitude to endure being stranded on an island and the hardship that he went through. Life is about 10% what happens to us, and it's about 90% of how we respond. God gives us the ability to respond with faith, tenacity, hope, and endurance. So how are you responding right now? Are you responding with faith or fear? Peace or anxiety? Hope or despair? Positive or negative? The first words were what God wanted you to do. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I like this little initials, G-I-G-O. What you put in is what you get on, out. Put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. You put God in, you get God out. So let's put Him, the Word of God, and the will of God into our hearts. Think about what you're thinking about. So how do you see your future? Ephesians 4 tells us, put off the old. Don't think like the world. Be renewed in your mind. The battle is in your mind. Put on hope, faith, purity, trust, peace. Put off the old. Be renewed in your mind. And put on hope and faith and peace as you trust in the Lord and look to Him. The life you're living is a reflection of the thoughts you're thinking. So I say, meditate on the Word of God day and night, that you may be able to observe to do all that is written therein. Be transformed. Be transfigured like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. We don't live or think like the world. We actually live and think exact opposite of them, because God is for us. He's in us. He's in our side. He's in our boat. And He's bringing us to the other side. Amen. Amen. Yeah, glory. The quality of your life is never going to exceed the quality of your thoughts. And that's why God said, be washed with the water of the Word of God. Receive with meekness the implanted Word of God that's able to save and protect your soul. As a man thinks, so is he. So what are you feeding on? If you're carnally minded, thinking on the news and the world, it brings harm, destruction, and death. But if you're spiritually minded, it's going to bring life and peace, contentment. So Paul said, how about we just think of what is good, pure, perfect, lovely, virtue, praise. Think on these things, and if you do that, the God of peace will be with you. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So what are you feeding yourself? If you're feeding yourself the news, I guarantee you, you're not going to be doing very well. So starve the flesh, starve the news, starve the world, and feed your inner man with God and the Word of God and the will of God and the purpose of God, and the peace of God and the faith of God will rise up big and you'll overcome. He's in our boat, and we are going to the other side. And we're going to the other side victorious because He's inside of us and He's for us. So if you have to, separate from negative friends and influences. Sometimes, shut off some of the stuff with Facebook if you're getting fed with a lot of negative stuff. Paul said, I consider these present sufferings nothing to be compared with the glory, the power, the nature, the presence of God that's going to be revealed in me through the trial. God is on our side. He's greater than any storm. He's greater than any giant. And He's with you. And He's bringing you to the other side. Paul called these things that he went through momentary light afflictions. And this is a guy that was imprisoned, beaten, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, all kinds of things. And he said, these are just causing me to draw close to God. Whoa! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Honk your horn if you're thankful for Steve and Mike this morning. So if Paul can go everything he went through, surely we can sit under a canopy or sitting in our cars and listen to a message, amen? So shift your mind to trust and believe that God has good. That's what hope is. Hope is a positive faith and an expectation and a desire for good. And that's what God has for us. Character is forged in the midst of the fire. Suffering is actually good for us. If we don't have suffering, we get soft. And we don't want to be soft. We want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We are overcomers. We are conquerors. We are victorious because God is inside of us and He's in our boat and He's bringing us to the other side. So when we pray in the Spirit, Romans 8, the Holy Spirit takes hold together with us against everything that we're battling. All the things in our mind, all the things in all of our circumstances. And He takes hold together with you against those things. And when you commit them to God, then God turns everything around for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. His strength, just like Paul said, will be made perfect in your weakness. God's strength is more than enough. We'd like different things to remove. Paul asked for the thorn to be removed. God said, sorry, Paul, out of luck. I'm not removing it. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Me and you is more than enough. And we, if Paul could go through it, Jesus could go through it. All the disciples went through it. With God in our boat, we can go through it as well. Amen? There we go. I believe in faith. And every single Sunday for the last 2 months, I'm trying to give you the Word of God so that your faith grows as you trust God and look to Him and draw near to Him. It is according to your faith it's going to be done unto you. So feed yourself the Word of God, the purposes of God, and the will of God. Job said, the things that I feared came upon me. 365 times in the Bible it says, fear not. So don't let fear be a part of your life. Face it with the Word of God, the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and face your fears, and God will help you to conquer them. Let's be like Joshua and Caleb. They maximized the promise of God. They maximized. God said, the land is yours. They weren't denying the giants. They weren't denying their hardship, but they compared their giants to the greatness of God and the promises of God. And we should do the same. Maximize God. Worship Him. And minimize the things that are coming against you. If you have to, turn off the news. They're not filling you with faith. Turn on God and the will of God and worship Him. David said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. David was surrounded by his enemies. He was surrounded by enemies in his mind, his soul, his emotions, and his heart. And every time he started worshiping God, God showed up. God inhabits the praises of His people. So let's be people of praise. Let's focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is a good God, and He's going to do great things in the midst of this. I'm excited for what God is doing in me. And I believe He's doing the same in you. Moses was between a rock and a hard place. The army was on one side and the Red Sea was on the other. What did he do? He said, stand still and see the salvation of God. God is showing up in the midst of your life right now. And He's bringing protection, salvation, deliverance, His presence, His peace, and His hope. Amen? Our loving, faithful, powerful God is inside of us and He's working on our behalf. So if you're hurting, and we are, He's the God of all comfort. I went and did a funeral for my aunt, was a part of that last Tuesday. And I prayed this verse over my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, everybody that was at the funeral. When you're hurting and grieving, the God of all comfort will comfort you with His comfort so you can comfort others. When you're confused, look to Jesus. He's your guide. He's your shepherd. He's your director. He's your Lord. When you're discouraged and hopeless, He's the God of all hope. He'll fill you overfilling with His hope. When you're full of anxiety, think on good things. Think on Jesus. And let His peace guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. When you're weak, let the strength of God be made perfect in your weakness. When you're feeling lonely, let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Realize that God is with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He's with you always to the end of the age. So your heart, it's fixed. Your heart is established. It's looking to God. You're trusting in Him. Unwavering faith, because God is more than enough. So let's expect great things from God. Let this attitude in mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. I'm going to keep preaching if you guys don't mind. We're going to have outdoor services from now on. I've never got this good a response. Romans chapter 4. Abraham was too old to have kids. And God said, you're going to become the father of many nations. So in hope against hope, it was hopeless. Abraham's too old. Sarah's too old. But in hope against hope, he believed God. He did not grow weak in faith. He became fully persuaded that what God promised he was going to do. God has promised a mighty, mighty revival in the end days before he comes back. I've been preparing for that day for 46 years, and I'm going to keep preparing for the greatest outpouring of God and the Holy Spirit that the world has ever seen. And suffering and hardship will prepare you for that. Hardship and suffering and the difficulty that you face right now, if you respond with faith in God, you're going to be okay. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, baby, I just lost my sermon. All right, thank you, Lord Jesus. There we go, we got it back. Set your affections on things above. You know what? Your terrible job might be the dream of the unemployed. Your house might be the dream of the homeless. Your smile might be the dream of the depressed. Your health might be the dream of the ill. Your difficult times, don't forget to count your blessings and name them one by one. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. In the belly of the whale, he worshiped God. He said, I'll sacrifice to you, God, with a voice of thanksgiving. He said, that which I vowed, I will pay. He didn't want to, but in the belly of the fish, he said, all right, God, I'll go and preach to Nineveh. When he worshiped, when he said, God, I'll obey you and do the will of God for my life, God caused the fish to vomit up Jonah up onto the shore. He was delivered, and when you worship God and you surrender to God and you say, God, I'm committed fully to do the will of God, he will bring protection and deliverance for you just like he did for Jonah, just like he did for Moses. Just like he did for David. Just like he did for Paul. He loves to turn bad things around for good. He loves to show up in our suffering. I think I'm going to save this other story from next week. Maybe I'll sign him up. But this boy was in the hospital. He thought he was dying. They sent a teacher in there to work on his homework. When he realized the teacher came in for this boy to work on his homework, all of a sudden he became a changed boy. He said when she came back the next day, he was so different. And the teacher said, why is he so different? The boy said 2 weeks later, they wouldn't come and teach a boy that was dying to do his homework and work on his nouns and verbs. When she came and helped him, he got hope. And when he got hope, he got better. Today's sermon is for us to have hope against hope, just like Abraham. The God of all hope will fill us with hope, and he's going to intervene. So let's be like David. I remain hopeful and confident that we're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We're going to worship the Lord, and when you worship the Lord, Isaiah 40, you look to him with faith, hope and expectation, you'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. Why? Because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're seated above everything that's going on down here. God is more than enough in our lives. He is in us. He's going to bring us through, and he's going to glorify his name. Light always shines the greatest in the darkness. And we're surrounded by darkness. Let's be like Paul and Silas. At the midnight hour, they were worshiping God. Like Jonah, he was worshiping, said, God, I'm going to fully surrender my life to you. And God intervened. And he's looking to do the same for us. Psalm 121, the last verse. David said, I lift my eyes up. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. I lift my eyes up to the Lord. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. His grace, his strength, his help is more than enough. Let's pray, and then Daryl, if you want to make your way up. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all hope. And you are supernaturally filling us right now with the hope of God. We have a confident trust in you. It's not us. But you're great, you're powerful, you're more than enough, and you're going to glorify your name. We're going to lead people to Jesus. People that are sick are being healed. People that are struggling are experiencing the power of God. God is our way maker, miracle worker, light in the darkness, prayer answering God. And Father, we look to you this morning that you're going to intervene and meet every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.